Hey.
I want to get you out on time at 8:30, so we'll start. We're not doing any sources for a while, so you don't have to worry. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I just saw a one of these YouTube talks, how do you get the audience's attention? This is people they don't know. And you don't start by saying, we're not going to get to the sources, you're not going to say, the lighting okay. You start with a jug, you start with, something that's going to get to people, but you're here already, you're not leaving so fast. The topic we're going to do tonight is, remember you filled out those forms? I was very surprised, but a lot of people filled out, it was called prejudice on the thing, and a lot of people filled it out. Even though you can't prove it, I'm a man of my word, and and that's why we're doing it tonight. But I reworked it, is Judaism racist? Because it's essentially, it's the same question, just more interesting and emotionally evocative title than prejudice in Judaism. But before we get to prejudice by Jews, I want to spend the first 10 minutes in something we're all pretty familiar with. Prejudice against Jews, or anti-Semitism, and use that as a model for a certain, to understand, are we racist? Is Judaism racist? And you see, and if I could just say no, everybody can go home early, and that's it. And all these sources have nothing to do with it, because I just say, no, we're not racist. But I want to prove it to you. And it's not, and there are times when it's going to seem like Judaism is racist, and that's what's the interesting part. Okay, so first of all, what does racism mean? Anybody have any idea how you would define racism? That's a very contemporary question, and it's a very heated question, and it's an emotional question, especially if you live in certain countries, and I'm not cutting you off, but I want to tell you depending on where you live, you're going to get a different answer. What is your name?
Don't ask the question if you don't want to get an answer.
I do, very much. What is your name?
Don.
Don, sorry, bad ears. Go ahead, Don.
Well, okay, you asked for a definition of racism.
Correct.
I would opine that it is the quality of making prejudgments about somebody's character based on their racial makeup,
Excellent.
The color of their skin, if you will.
Don, I want you to know you're better than the internet. It's more precise and shorter, it's terrific. Nobody's going to disagree if it does a great thing and he does it great. Anybody have a different definition or a different way of understanding it? Anybody? How would you know if a person is a racist when you see them or talk to them?
Well, I would say, like, when they talk about people of other races, it's with a bit of hatred and disdain.
Okay. Don didn't mention hatred, but he implied it. Okay? That's true. And it's not as bad as all they do is talk about it, but some people act on it. Okay? And the action doesn't have to be, God forbid you harm somebody, you treat them, two people come for an interview, right? Now, there are laws about being, how you have to treat people for an interview. But nobody knows what's in your mind. Anybody who's interviewed anybody can know. In the Orthodox community, for example, as a principal, again, it's illegal to do this, but everybody does this. When you have girls who are religious who come and they interview for a teaching position in a school, as head of schools, right? So the first thing that goes off in your mind is how close are they to marriage? And if they're married, then they're going to start taking off because they're going to get pregnant and they're going to take off time and you're going to have to work for another teacher, right? It's easier to get a teacher who's not going to have too many babies, right? Now, that's a very practical concern. But if you, God forbid, say that, right, you're finished. Right, but I know that there are principals who hire teachers based on that principle. Okay, anyway, getting back to you mentioned hatred, which is very good, and Don, that's very, very well. Basically, it's we're going to see in the definition and also how we treat. It's thinking.
It's also a preconceived notion of intelligence, ethics,
morals, work ethics.
Correct.
And
anything you want to say, you're correct.
No, but also I know, like, being I work with a lot of people in the Latino community, and they
are about there or here?
In the States.
Okay.
I've only been here a year. And they have, like, all kinds of celebrations. And they're always, you know, like, they'll take lots of time for celebrations, like, celebrations take, what, you know, so that's something also.
Therefore, what does that have to do with racism, celebrations? Oh, you mean in terms of hiring?
Taking time off and...
No. If you're somebody, it's always, it's usually the Jews who are not religious who are the most tough on religious Jews getting hired. They feel very...
Oh, my gosh. No. Yeah.
Okay, let's get into the thing about Jews, okay, in a second. First of all, I'll just read you what it says here, but it's important that you mention preconceived and you said prejudge. And that's, we're going to see that's really the core of it. Define racism. A prejudice that assumes that the members of racial categories have distinctive characteristics and these differences result in some racial groups being inferior to others. Okay? Racism generally includes negative emotional reactions to a member of the group. Discrimination refers to the different treatment of the members of the groups, ethnic, religious, national, or other groups. It could be by anything, okay, which we will come to. Now, why am I saying it's very important? The word prejudice comes from the two words of the word prejudge. If you judge a person before you know them, for any reason, it's not right. If I say, Don, I don't like people who have, we're going to come back to this, green sweater, is it? Right?
Call me a little green man.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't spell with Don, I'm sorry. Okay. I say anything, it has nothing to do with the fact that they're from this nationality. It has a group. Any group that you say, everybody in this group is, automatically that's already calling to racism, and which we'll see in a moment. Okay? So let's talk about Jews as a reference. You know that even 3 days ago, made a big deal in Hollywood because there was a movie that had Asian Americans who won all the awards. Ah, Hollywood felt good about itself because the world is, in America at least, it's very anti-Asian. Some people are racist. Ah, they felt good about themselves. But the lady gets up who won the award for best actress, and she said, if I'm not, I'm going to misquote, but she said, I had the Hollywood dream about making it in Hollywood, and then I came there. Meaning it took her 30 years of a lot of pain till she got to where she was. The point is that they were talking about racism in terms of Asians. The one thing place they make jokes at the Oscars is they don't talk about anti-Semitism at the Oscars because Jews, quote, run Hollywood. It's a fact. There are more Jews working in Hollywood than any other group by a tremendous margin. Because they started every single group in Hollywood, every single studio in Hollywood was started by a Jew. And there's a reason for that, but it's another lecture. Anyways, a few months ago, a Jewish sounding actress, well known person, but not Jewish at all, Whoopi Goldberg, okay, said there can't be racism against Jews because Jews are not a race, because they're white. So when the Nazis treated the Jews, they treated them white versus white, so therefore it can't be a race thing. Okay? She got into a lot of trouble, she was suspended, etc. And she came back and she defended this position. The point is, from her perspective, which of ignorance, she didn't know that for 3,000 years, Jews, nobody said the word race till 150 years ago. Jews would see it as a group that were different and hated by everybody else. And if she would only understand that, but why doesn't she understand that? She's not a stupid woman. Because the most
I think
of
she is.
Well, I would say foolish, not stupid, didn't do her homework, meaning the Jews that she's hung out with the last 50 years, they haven't, she, in her perspective, haven't suffered from being singled out as a group. They haven't suffered because they're Jews. Most of them are wealthy. And therefore, what do you mean that the Jews were, okay? Well, she's defining it very specifically. The most important thing in terms of prejudice, and we're going to go through why that is in a moment, is to understand that you have to think of the entire group as this. Okay? All people who have... Are you familiar with the fantastic movie called The Eyes Have It? I don't want to take too much time.
No.
It's a movie that was made in the 70s. I don't think it was a documentary. Amazing movie about an amazing teacher who did the following. After the... Martin Luther King was assassinated, and it was about Kennedy and whatever, and they talked about racial tensions and prejudice. She was a teacher in the middle of Iowa, where there were no blacks within 500 miles. And she wanted to have her fourth grade, fifth grade students understand what prejudice is all about. Yes.
Is that the blue eyes?
Yes.
Ah.
So what she did was, she walked in one day, and she says, today we're going to try something a little different. All the people who have blue eyes, you're going to sit over here. You're going to sit in the back. All people have brown eyes, or blue eyes in the front, brown eyes in the back. Okay? And then she started to give different exercises, meaning different things to do. And I said, well, brown-eyed people aren't as smart as blue-eyed people, and therefore they can't really keep up, so I'm going to give different things in there. And within 2 hours, she had the brown-eyed kids crying and all feeling that they were inferior. Okay? And then she explained what it means to be prejudiced and racist, etc. So it does. My point is, it doesn't make a difference what the group is, brown-eyed versus blue-eyed. We know there's no evidence that there's any difference, but if you make it different, it becomes different. Okay? And we'll see. So I have a friend, and it has to be everybody. That's my point also. I have a friend, I'm not going to name him because he's a pretty famous guy, and we went to South Africa together to do Kirubram programs for the, and we happened to go in 1976 at the height of the Soweto riots, at the turning point of the whole racism there, when et cetera, in South Africa, which I'm not going to go into. But what I wanted to say, you go there, he says, he's from Brooklyn, and he says to me one day, he says, the last few years I thought my whole life I was racist. The word racist wasn't used, I was prejudiced against blacks. He says, because I hated the blacks in my neighborhood. He says, now I know I'm not prejudiced. He says, I look at the way they're suffering here, and it's terrible. And when I say suffering, again, I can go 15 minutes into this. Separate entrances to everything. If the white motorcyclists that picked up white people were not allowed to pick up black people, but black people not pick up white people, but the mice for white people were better, came more often. Things like that. And he says, it's a terrible situation. He says, now I know that I hated blacks who beat me up. I hated blacks who hated me. I don't hate all blacks. And if you say that, that's not racist, right? Somebody wants me to die, I don't want to like him. That's more Christian than Jewish. Doesn't mean I can't convince him, but that's not the point. The point is, you have to hate all the people in the group because they are part of that group. Okay? So, and I'm going to go one step further. There are many people in the world who say, you know, all Jews are smart, right? Is that racist or not?
Yes.
In a positive sense, yeah.
We just said it has to be negative.
No, just the prejudging.
Okay, it certainly is prejudging. And if anybody doesn't know, all Jews are not smart. Why Jews are, there are theories why Jews, most Jews are smarter than most non-Jews, and that's, you know, whatever, Nobel Prize, all that stuff. There's reasons. Malcolm Gladwell, in his last book, explained why it is the Asians seem to be. He says, very interesting, not about Jews, he says, the Asians had to make rice for 900 years. He says, rice takes intensive labor of 360 days a year. He says, in Europe, they had to make wheat, which required 180 days, 190 days of labor. So they had much more time to have a beer and tell stories and have campfires and everything else. He says, that gets passed down even though the people don't even realize it. And he says, therefore, Asians are generally, he shows, that are much more, I don't know. focus, this, that, whatever, because they always have this tradition, okay? And he explains about Jews also. And I have a different theory, which we now have time for. Anyway, the point is, when it comes to Lashon Hara, I'll use that analogy. When it comes to Lashon Hara, speaking bad about people, the halacha is, you're not allowed to say good things about people either. Why? Says the Chafetz Chaim. Because if I say, tonight you have a very nice shirt, right? Yeah. Compliment, right? So whatever, what are half of the people thinking now?
What am I wearing, a schmata?
Right, he's wearing a schmata. I compliment him, but not him.
Yesterday.
Okay? Right. Or, tonight you have a nice shirt, but last week it was a piece of garbage, right? People will think what they want to think. So you can't even talk about good, because people, if you say in a certain groups, all Jews are smart, and they use that intelligence to make sure they're clever against us. Okay? That's the unspoken part. Okay? So therefore, saying anything about a group that all the people in the group are, unless it's true, right? Then, you know, then it's called racism or prejudice or whatever we want to talk about. Okay? Jews have suffered from this specifically more than anybody else. By the way, always, it's the right wing, who says the Jews are, what's the word, they're parasites living off the wherever they are, because they were always poor because they weren't allowed to own land, they weren't able to. And then the others say, no, basically the right wing and the left wing accuses Jews, you know, Jews always keep accused of being communist and fascist at the same time, because Jews, unlike any other group, had constant hate against them, and we're going to see why in a minute. There are many, many reasons. That's again a different lecture. But when we start to talk about prejudice, and we use that as the model, we'll see if Judaism is prejudice. Okay, so let's start by looking at the first. Oh, I want to say one very racial joke. Okay, now remember, I'm saying this is a joke. Okay, there are two words, especially Jews, call blacks as a really negative, terrible term. One of them, now, when I was growing up, it wasn't necessarily looked at that way, but it became that way as I got older, the word Schwarzer, right? Schwarzer was, in the Yiddish-speaking community, that's the way they talked about blacks. But gradually, that became a terrible word. And of course, the N-word, nigger, is a terrible word. And I said, we all know that's true. Yet in the 1990s, when the blacks were asked to pick their most favorite Hollywood star, the name of the star is Arnold Schwarzer Nigger. How could they like a guy with the name Schwarzer Nigger? Okay? Anyway, so let's start. Why do people hate people who are from a different group, or are groups that are different? So we take a look at the first source, and we see the answer. God gives us the answer, believe it or not. Okay? Source number one, Vayarach Hashem et Reach Nichoch, Ne'im Hashem el Libo. God, I'm not going to go through the details, whatever that the metaphor of the smell is. God said to himself, Lo osef la kalelo et adama, I will never curse the ground again. Today we have much more than produce than ever before, and that could more than feed the whole world 1.5 times. Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra minurav. Man is built, man is created with a bad heart. What does that mean? Left to his own desires, man will do terrible things. Okay? Unless man is trained not to go against his nature, there are many things in man's nature which will be terrible.
Original sin.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Original sin means that there was a sin, and we have to be do kapara atonement for that sin. We're not talking about part of his nature. And I'll prove it to you. If somebody were to come in right now, or came in at the beginning, with purple hair, everybody would, first of all, probably not talk to this person, or talk very gingerly, and be thinking about this person during the talk, and would bother you. Why?
I credit.
You give them credit, but it would be thinking about the person. Why? Because we have a certain distaste for anybody who's different. Anybody who's different. In any way, by the way. When I say different...
I disagree.
Okay, you're welcome to disagree. Okay, and you'll prove it. Yeah, maybe if we have time afterwards, you'll prove it. If you are, I didn't say you are that way. I said before you were taught anything.
Before I experienced it.
Okay, I'm not saying before you were taught anything, it's a natural thing. We've had an education, so we hopefully have learned not to let it bother us. Okay, so when you say it doesn't bother you, you're only correcting my point because you've been taught that you don't judge a person by their physical appearance.
Or I've learned over the years that looks can be deceiving.
Right, you go beyond the surface.
I remember asking my rabbitson when I lived in Yerushalayim, I worked at Shari Tzedek, I said, tell me, and I'm like black hat, what have you, you know.
I like to see you wear black hats.
No,
what
I'm saying
then everybody would be commenting.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
And I said, why is it my nurses that have the best needles are the ones who have the tickle starting back here, wear the V-neck and the short sleeves?
And what do they answer?
They just don't know.
Is it true?
That was my perception as a nurse. So you're already talking about a group of people.
I think we're not going to finish. Because it's a very interesting discussion. You all know what gemachs are?
Yes.
Okay, gemach is a gemach is a... if you want to call it an organization that started for a purpose to give things away, to lend things for free.
Yes.
Okay? It could be money. But there are 4,000 gemachs in Yerushalayim. Different gemachs. Mm-hmm. So if you want stuff for a bar mitzvah, because you want to have a really nice bar mitzvah with challah covers and oven and blah, and you want to borrow 50 challah covers, there's a gemach for that. If there's a gemach for, you know, anything you can imagine. In the middle of the night, you need milk, and every store is closed, there's a gemach that has milk, right? Anything you can imagine, there's a gemach for. Every gemach is run by, quote, ultra-Orthodox. Does that mean that they are more chesed-oriented? Within their community, yes, or they know how to actualize it as opposed to other, whatever. But the point is, that's because they've learned. I'm talking about a person's natural thing. People hate the different. Why do people hate Jews so much? Because we refuse to assimilate. If we assimilated, people would be very happy with us. That means they wouldn't know that we're Jewish. Right? You know, I don't want to say a joke. And forget it. The point is, because time. Anyway, the point is that...
It didn't work in Germany.
No, but that's the point. That's exactly the point. Even people who said, I'm a very proud Catholic because my mother converted, or whatever, or my grandfather, Hitler said, we don't care. The Goyim, that was never accepted within the non-Jewish world, right? But if they're talking about it was over century, we are the only people in the history of the world that whose, if your central focus of your religion is destroyed, number one, we weren't destroyed. Number two, every other nation that was kicked out of its land within a few generations, there was no nation anymore. Right? We're the only ones that defy the experience. We talked about astrology, Ein Mazal Yisrael. We defy the, if you want to call it, the logic. And Jews, part of it is that we refuse to become like everybody else. So if there was nothing outside, I'm talking about if Hitler had lived, God forbid Hitler had lived longer, but if Hitler, Jews, you couldn't even tell who was Jewish, right? By records, by anything, then you couldn't destroy the Jewish people because there's no record of them being Jewish. And that's what would have happened. Okay. The point, and for example, 80%, 70% of the non-Orthodox world, when they assimilate, we will never know that they're, you know, they were Jewish. Because there's no going to be no records within 50 years. The point is that we are naturally against people who are different. Okay. The question is, as Jews, if we see people in our community who are different, when I say different, I don't mean necessarily, it could be different if everybody, not only hair color, but it could be if everybody was a certain height, and some people were very small. Some people were not very tall. When you were growing up, we made fun of people in our class. We didn't know any better. Even if you came from a different neighborhood, in the same city, you were made fun of. Correct? Right? So it didn't have to be much to be different. Right? You don't have to be that weird to have purple hair. You could just be a little different. Overweight, too skinny, physical as well as... Okay. So that's what the Torah says. And the whole purpose of being Jewish is to correct and even overcorrect those areas that we have to have the right values. But we're born without the right values. Okay? How do you overcorrect or how do you correct? So let's start with racism and we'll see. Who are the people who are most likely to face, in any society, prejudice?
Minorities.
Okay, minorities. What else?
I was just going to say the person that looks different.
The person who looks different?
The visible minorities.
Yeah, like you were saying, the Jews are white, so like people have complimented me, you don't look Jewish.
Right.
They think that's a compliment.
Right. People, I want you to know, but it's also the opposite, okay? And I will tell you, there are many Israelis who are racists, okay? But the question, like the world will think that Jews are, quote, racist, Judaism, Zionism is racism, which if we don't have time, I'm not going to get into tonight. But the reason why it's so difficult is, if you put two Arabs, typical looking Arabs, next to each other, we won't be able to tell which one comes from Jenin and which one comes from Abu Ghosh. We won't know by looking at them which one wants to kill us and which one says you're the greatest friend I could ever have. Correct? And that creates problems. Because we're living in a population which is very close, you know. Probably Jenin is closer to here than Abu Ghosh, whatever. And it's very hard to tell by the person, the way a person looks, what their feelings are. But we attribute feelings to them. And we think, some people think, all Arabs should be dead Arabs, right? Because some Arabs, thank God not all, or some Arabs, want to kill us. And we're right to do something to them if they want to kill us, right? We don't want to let them succeed. Okay, so that's number two. More important is, and this is an important thing to state, to a friend of mine, a Rebbe, said many times, and I said it here a couple of times, Judaism is perfect, Jews are not. Don't judge Judaism by what some Jews do. There are some Israelis who hate Ethiopians because they're black. I don't know how many, I've seen it, I've heard it, whatever. On the other hand, when the Ethiopians came here in 1991, if you will, so you were here, after 3 years of the Russians coming, you would think we have Aliyah exhaust. And yet, that night, they announced over the radio that they're staying in these and these hotels. Tens of thousands of Israelis came with food and clothing for the Ethiopians. Amazing. 14,000 Ethiopians came overnight. And it was amazing, right? So, the point is, there are some Jews who are racist. Don't judge Judaism by let's look at the sources. Okay, so you said a person looks different. You said a minority, right? Who are the people we're going to pick on? First of all, we're going to pick on people, just for practical reasons, who can't hurt us, which means they're going to be a small number of people, okay? If they're the majority, you don't start off with the majority, correct? If they have power. So we pick on people. Then we take on people who don't have a support system. Who are people who don't have a support system?
Outcasts
and immigrants. Most immigrants don't have a large support system like the people. So we take on immigrants. We take on people who are new to the community, okay? And that's in every society. Judaism comes along and says in source number two, okay? Basically, I'm not gonna read it inside, but it says, what is the mitzvah that is most often repeated in the Torah? If I didn't ask you to look at the source, what would you think mitzvah is most repeated in the Torah?
Be kind to strangers in a strange land.
You learned this already, okay. Okay, what mitzvah you would say? Shabbos, kashrus, right? Davening, belief in God. 46 times, says source number six, number two, it's repeated in the Torah, not to do anything negative to a person who is a stranger, okay? Who is a stranger? The word is ger. Some say, and we can, but it's really both. When you're talking about a Jewish society, the Torah talks about the, you know, the perfect society where Jews are the majority. So the people who live within your society as gerim can be one of two things. It could be whatever, first of all, what we call today a ger is somebody who converts. Okay? Convert. Sorry. Did I do something wrong?
You're upset.
I thought you're not, once somebody's converted, you don't call them a convert.
Once somebody went to the University of Pennsylvania, you can't say they didn't go to the University of Pennsylvania. Doesn't mean you can hurl it against them, which we'll, if we get to it, we'll get to it. But a person who converts, or there's something called a ger toshav, not ger tzedek, where somebody who is living among you, who is not Jewish, but accepts the idea that they're Jews, that Jews are running the show, and they pay their taxes, and they what's called accept the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach. What are the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach? It's basically the seven commandments of a called a just society, right? You know, how to steal, you know, I can go through all of them if you want. It was very popular at the time. Hopefully we'll never get that again. Eber min achai, right? They didn't have microwaves. And they didn't have, you know, too many facilities. So they used to take animals and, you know, take the chicken leg right from the chicken without killing it first or whatever. That's Eber min achai. But it's cursing God, so there's an idea of belief in a God. It's stealing. It is setting up courts. It is murder. I'm going through the, not having idol worship, which we'll come back to much later on. And I think that's all seven, correct?
Incest. Incest, sexual impropriety.
Yeah, sexual, okay, fine. Okay, so if they live that and they accept the fact that they are citizens of the country, that's, you know, it's they who we have to treat the best. Because you, remember, you were also gerim in Mitzrayim. You were the outcasts in Egypt, okay? Now, there were very few gerim in Israel. Very few. We know from facts, and we know that very few immigrants are going to come and say, why do you think the Torah said it 46 times? According to 36 times, according to one opinion. Why stress this if the law, Shabbos comes every 7 days, Kashrus comes every meal. Why not stress what we have every single day? Why stress about how we treat the immigrant, the non-Jew, or the whatever you want to call it, the convert who is different? Why?
Because it's human nature to separate people into characters.
Very good. Because the Torah is trying to teach you to be sensitive to the fact that people are different and the fact that you're going to naturally treat them different. You have to go out of your way to make sure you don't treat them differently. The weakest in society. Why? Because that's a weather vane of how we treat everybody. If you're going to treat the weakest in society with great respect and sensitivity, you treat everybody with sensitivity. Correct? So therefore, the Torah goes out of its way to tell you that. How do I know that we talked about it? First of all, everybody says it. But if you look at source number three is an example of four or five different verses, right, only about gerim. And it says all the time, remember that you also had that experience. Part of Pesach is to remember that we were in that position. So if you can empathize because you were there, that helps as well. But it also, when it says ger, there are two other categories of people that it intermixes how we treat them. Anybody know? Okay? It says, now remember, this was much, much more common in those days. Orphans. Okay, parents did not live very long, and people wore, etc., etc. Orphans had to make it on their own, and widows. Okay, because the man somehow could make it, and God says, "How you treat widows, how you treat orphans, how you treat strangers who are, you know, or strangers in your community, shows how you are as a human being." Okay, now if that is not the most pro or anti-racist statement you're going to have a year. Look at source number four, the Sefer HaChinuch, written in the 1300s. He says, what is the mitzvah? Why did God do this? Milvad, mashik katavnu, besides all the things else we wrote, kidei lakof et yitzreinu, going back to source number one, in order to force our natural desires, la'olam le'bal na'aseh kol asher nimtza b'kochenu la'asov l'ra'a. Because the natural feeling of people is to mistreat people who are strangers, who are different, who are weak in society. Al kain hizirtanu, therefore God went out of his way to warn us. B'zeh ha'ish shehu b'einenu, b'li'ozer, the person who is living among us without a support system. The word ozer, right there. B'somech, b'yesh koach b'yad kol echad v'echad mimenu imavavav alav, that we have the ability to love him. L'val na'avir alav et haderech, and therefore we should not ever go and make the person feel bad. Afilu b'dvarim ka'elu k'shechad mimenu. Okay? And again, source number five. Ger lo toneh v'lo tilchatzenu. You can't even make the person feel bad in any way. Ki gerim ha'item eretz Yisrael, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ko'am anavi yotev yatom al to ta'anun. Don't make, the word ta'anun makes me feel bad. Imane ta'ane oto. God says, you make them feel bad, I will go out of my way. He says, so, you see why the verb is repeated twice every time in the verse, right? I will go out of my way to make you feel bad. Meaning God will take specially, and again, I can go through the sources in six. I will kill you. You will suffer. If you treat them, you will suffer, and you'll make your children into alma. I will kill you, and then therefore your wives will be widows, and your, meaning, that's how bad it is. And source seven, again, source eight, look at how you say, we're going to have racism is how we treat somebody who is different. Look what Rambam says, okay? Ezehu ger toshav, who was considered a ger who's living among you, who did not convert. Kibet is ze akum. This is a person who formerly may have been an idol worshiper. She kibel olav shelo yavod akum kochavim. He will not be. This was changed, by the way, by the Christians. They didn't want to say they were idols, so they went to the Rambam and they made it to change it to say kochavim. They will worship the stars, but it means idols. Im shara mitzvot. Shenatztavu b'nei Noach, the seven mitzvot of b'nei Noach. The lo mal, he doesn't have to have a brit milah. The lo tavali, doesn't have to go to the mikvah. Harezem mikablin oto, you accept this person. Watch this. For who mechaside unot ha'olam, he's considered like a tzaddik. Okay. Lama karam mikmosh toshav v'vin mutar lo shivo b'neinu, because he can live within us. That's called that. And elsewhere it says a ger toshav who accepts the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach as a share in Olam Haba. We're the only religion who says that somebody is not part of your religion, go to Olam Haba. Okay, so if I stopped right here, there would be no discussion. Obviously, you're not allowed to make anybody in minority, anybody feel bad. And again, I don't have to prove it to you, but you could have many sources here that will say it. The Ramban says it again. Source number 11, just doing because of time, and then we turn over the page, we're going to see something interesting. There are many laws on the books in the Torah that have never been actualized. Okay? The most famous, anybody know?
Surah.
Correct. In the book of Devarim, it says if they have a rebellious child, Ben Sorer Moreh, and they do this and they do that and this, you're supposed to kill the child before it becomes a psychopath. Okay? Which makes sense, because if you know he's going to kill, better you kill him when he's 11 than you kill him after he's killed 57 people by going on the top of a building and shooting people. Okay? Well, that's, you know. But the Gemara says, because of all the conditions that are necessary, if the rabbis put them in, if the Torah put them in, there's never been a Sorer Moreh. But the Torah puts down many things and laws that are on the books that we don't carry out. This is the example that they say themselves. Many, many, for example, I mean, even if we had a Jewish religious court today, would anybody, I mean, of course not, but if anybody say, oh, it says in the Torah, if you don't keep Shabbat, Sokoli, Sokeli, you're supposed to be, stoned and killed. You know, obviously not referring to that. And there are certain things regarding non-Jews that it says as well. But look how they treat this. Source number 12. It says in the Torah, the word is, there's a special mitzvah that you have to go and, this is a good example because we don't follow it in secular law. What happens if there's a lost object on the ground and you pass it?
You have to restore it to its owner.
Okay, but if you pass it, you've done a sin. Right? All you got to do is walk by. There's a halacha that says you have to correct, pick it up, and try to restore it to its owner. It's not so easy if it's in the middle of the street. But there's a mitzvah, unlike any other society, you can be punished for doing nothing in Judaism. And this is an example, okay? And you have to return it. But in the Torah it says, "L'ashevota l'chol abedat achicha." It has to be your brother. So look what it says here. I look this up, because what happens in real society, in most societies?
You keep it.
Well, first of all, if you keep it, you're doing three things wrong. But if you pass by, most people just pass by and don't think twice, right? But that's the mitzvah is to pick it up, okay? Interesting in Israel, I think this is for a different reason. They don't know the pasuk. If you leave your wallet in a taxi, there's a 98% chance you'll get it back. You leave your wallet in a taxi in any other country, okay? I'm not being racist now. I'm saying about every country, you know, whatever. Meaning, no, because most Western countries, I don't know anything about Eastern countries. Western countries, you know, finest people's loses weeper, etc., etc., etc. This is not the Torah way. I'm saying that purposely because look at source number 12. Amar Rav. Rav said, "Minayin la'avedat knani." If a person is a non-Jew who is living among you, let's just say for argument's sake he's a ger toshav, okay? Shehim uteret. I'm allowed to go by and not pick it up, or I'm allowed to keep it, okay? Which we would do in Western society without a second thought. How do you know? Because it says shenemar l'chol avedat achicha, the pasuk I just quoted, you have to return the lost object of your brother, which means only Jews. L'achicha tamachzi, you have to return it to your brother. V'iyat tamachzi l'knani, the implication is you don't have to return it to a non-Jew. Tanya repitas omer, yeir omer, b'makom sheyesh chilul Hashem, avedato, afilu avedato asur. Okay? There is another overriding concept which takes precedence, and that's called chilul Hashem. Anytime there's a perception that you're going to treat a non-Jew worse than a Jew, it's a chilul Hashem. Okay? So, even if on the books you could technically get by with not returning it, because somebody may see you pick it up, not pick it up or whatever, and doesn't know, I don't know, how do you know it's a non-Jew anyway, but that's not the point. You have to go out of your way to show that non-Jews are not treated any differently than Jews. That's the opposite of racist, okay? And what's the famous example? Source number 12, this right follows right there. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach. There was a rabbi, Rabbi Shimon, Shelakach hamor echad miYishmaeli. He bought, right, a donkey from an Ishmaelite, from an Arab. Echad halchul tamidav, and he bought it, and everybody agreed, you have it, it's yours. His students came along and they examined this donkey. Umatzabo eben achat tova. They found a diamond hidden in the donkey, in its fur. Okay. Tuliyabo b'tzavaro, I'm sorry, around its neck, but it was not obvious. Amrulo Rebbe, Berchat Hashem, he ta'ashir. They said to him, Rebbe, you got a great thing because you were sold, you know, with everything, as they say. Okay? Amrulo Roshita ben Shimon Shita, Chamor lakachti, Evin tova lo lakachti. I only bought a donkey, I didn't buy a diamond. Halach the Hazir al Tel Yishmaeli, the Kara Alav al Tel Yishmael, Baruch Hashem, Elokeshim al Mitzvah. He returned the diamond. Now, if he had not returned the diamond, this guy would never have known. But why did he return the diamond? He thought maybe it's considered stealing, but he also knew that what would happen if he returned the diamond?
He would be appropriated.
Okay. Do you know what happened in the old days? Now we don't have this anymore. In the old days, we used to have cash. When I would be given extra money in change, and I'd go back to the supermarket and I'd make a big deal out of it because I know learned this halacha, right? And I said you gave me back too much. They would be in shock. You gave me too much and you came back and you gave.
Explain to me then
why, okay, Baal Teshuva over here. I can't tell you how many times I sat in shiurim and this comes up and like, oh, if they're not Jewish, you don't have to return?
You just learned you don't have to return. But it's a chilul Hashem if anybody finds out. And it's a kiddush Hashem if you do return. And therefore you have to return. If you have an opportunity to be mekadesh shem shamayim and you don't take it, I consider that between you and God, I'm not judging.
I'm saying, but so we're talking.
So according to the letter of the law,
right,
you
but
don't.
Why isn't the second part taught also?
What? Sorry.
The second part that to not say, well, if the person's not Jewish who gave you the extra money, you don't have to return it. Instead of saying like, but you really should.
I say what I said before. Judaism is perfect. Jews are not. Jews are going to use the law any way they want, especially when it comes to money. How do you say religious Jews who daven with kavanah go out and cheat an hour later, cheat in the business world? How do they live with themselves? They do. Right? They do. Okay? It's, you know. Okay. Again, start in the Yerushalmi, source number 13. But Shaul Sha'ah Gazar Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Gamliel, different Rabbi Gamliel, Shimon ben Gamliel. So this is probably the father of Rabbi Shimon. Al Kol Gzeilot Akum. This is you go back to your thing. Okay, it's only Yerushalmi. Shehei Aser Bitnei Chilul Hashem. You're never allowed to take anything from a goy because of Chilul Hashem. Okay. Okay, is it brought down in the sources, in halacha? Now remember, I'm going to go one step further. And this is very important to understand. Again, we're going to go back to Jews being in 2,000 years, they attacked us because we were Jews. We suffered from that much more than just physically. We suffered psychologically. What does that mean? As a defense mechanism, Jews began to think of non-Jews as one group of people, right? Racist, right? There's an expression in Europe called "Shiker is a goy," right? Because there were non-Jews in town who spent half their lives being drunk. Okay, there are many people today. Okay, drugs, drunk, whatever. Shiker is a goy. Does that mean every goy is shiker? No, but the defense against they don't understand what Judaism is, and they hurt us. They don't have any concept because they're idiots, right? In terms of lack of knowledge, that's correct. But in terms of calling them shiker as a guy, in terms of, you know, person, it's racist on the part of Jews. And unfortunately, for 2,000 years, that was the defense mechanism because we were in minority. Now that in Israel we're the majority, in many yeshivot, they teach that goyim are less than Jews, which is racist.
They also teach women are less than Jews.
Correct. This is also racist. Okay? But that's all wrong. And I'll prove it to you. See, I don't want you to believe me because it's Amzel saying it versus somebody else. It's sources, okay? So at the perfect time, 14, okay? Hu haya omer chaviv adam shenivra b'tzelem. It says, every single person in the world was created b'tzelem. What's tzelem mean? Tzelem Elokim. Everybody has a godly, divine part of them. Everybody has divinity, okay? Does it say every Jew has divinity? No, because keep on going. Chiba Yeteira Shenodalob Shenivra B'Tzelem. Right? God did something great for the Jewish people, but also non-Jewish people. He let them know that they have to place divinity on them. Therefore, they have an obligation, etc., etc. Shenemar Ki B'Tzelem Hakim Asar Adam. It doesn't say every Jew has divinity. It doesn't every Jew has godliness. Every person has godliness. Jew, non-Jew, deformed person, everybody has godliness. And therefore, it's on this says the Tosfos Yontov, which is the classic commentary. Ukamosha hu haraya mimenu hevi, hu shenemar livnei Noach, lo livnei Yisrael. That's why God told it to Noach and not to the Jewish people of Adam. V'rasa Rabbi Akiva, who said this, lizakot et kol ha'adam, ach livnei Noach. Don't think that it's about Jews. Non-Jews are equal to Jews in terms of their divinity. They have different roles, right? Different purpose, different this. We are different. So we have to balance this. Everybody has godliness, and people have different purposes. One person's an accountant, one person's a doctor. And yet they switch roles, we're in big trouble. Okay? Because, and that's why everybody has the role which they're supposedly most suited for. Okay? And in source 15 it says, how much is the value of a human being? Source 15, it says there, it says that God was created, man was created in God's image. Why was only one man created? Anybody who destroys any human being, as if he destroyed an entire world. What's the value of an entire world? We talked about this once before. It's infinite. Each person is an infinity. Not every Jew, every person. Because God created man. He didn't create Jew. Okay? So therefore, how we treat non-Jews is also how we treat the divinity within that non-Jew. Okay? So therefore, how could I'll say it again, how could Judaism be racist if we have to treat them with godliness inside? No matter who they are, even if they're stupid, even if they hate us, okay? Doesn't mean we're allowed to just take it on the chin if they do something to us, but we have to realize they have a source of divinity in them. Now we're going to see something unbelievable, which I will challenge, if anybody can come up with a challenge. I don't know every law system in the world, but imagine there's a law system. The non-Jews are living in our law system, and they are living by our laws, Jewish law, and they go to court, and they lose, and they say, but in our law system, in the old country, I would have won. How would that person be treated?
Lost that one.
Huh?
So what? You're here now.
You're not living in the old country. You're here. You've got to live by our laws, right? Take a look at source 16. Yisrael Kanani Anash Shebaladin. The non-Jew and the Jew went to the Jewish court. Imatoyachol Zakeu B'dinei Yisrael Zakeu. If you can say that the I think it's talking about the Kanani wins by Jewish law, right? Then he wins. Ve'emorlo kach dinenu, right? If you can do it according to his old law and the Kananim Zakeu, be a morlo, kach dinchem. The imlav, but in Allah bakifin. The very Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel, I'll tell you what it means in a second. Amar Allah, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, ain't but in the bakifin, but make Kiddush Hashem. If their law trumps and makes them come out on top, Rabbi Akiva says, you have to use their law system in order to make sure they come out on top. Why? B'nei Kiddush Hashem. So we use their law system in order to make sure they win, right? Which is the opposite of racism. All the laws now making it difficult for blacks in bad neighborhoods to vote. So in order to keep the numbers of blacks voting, I mean, that's what they say at least, whatever, vote for us, so they won't win. It's the opposite of this. Okay? You have to go out of your way for the stranger, for the person who's out of the, to make sure they win in a court of law. Why? Again, you come back to Kiddush Hashem. If everything you do is because of Kiddush Hashem, then you have to treat everybody terrific. What does Kiddush Hashem mean? People are going to say the opposite of what you said. Of what you said at the beginning about the nurses. What a terrific person. What a terrific system. Them God must be special. That's the goal. If they say that, that's Kiddush Hashem. If they say, what a terrible system, look at the way they behave. This is what they believe in God, right? Like you said, that's Chilul Hashem, okay? So if the purpose of treating non-Jews or people who are different, etc., is to make Kiddush Hashem, it can't be racist, okay? I see the time is going, so we're going to skip, and then we give you many, many more. Okay, 17. Non-Jews living among you, what do you have to do? If they're poor, you have to give them money. You have to make sure they not stay poor, just like Jews. Okay? Source 17. And you have to make sure you have good relations with them. You can't say, you're not Jewish, I can't marry you, so I'm not going to say hello. Okay? Source 18. How did Jews who were poor get food and money in the time of the agrarian society? Anybody know? Three mitzvahs in the Torah. Not talking about giving them money. Okay? What happened when the field was...
Tithing.
What?
Tithing?
No, before tithing. Tithing goes to the lady. How did the non-Jews... It does go to the year three and year six. Sorry. year, sorry, I made a mistake. Yeah. Year 1 and 2, 4 and 5 out of the 7 years, it goes to the poor person before it gets to the tithing. What you just said now. Okay? They are called shikha, leket, and peya. Peya is a corner, how to be left, how big is the corner, it's up to you, but it's usually 2%. Shikha, anything you dropped on the way, you can't go back for. It has to be left on the field. Okay? And leket are things that you did collect, but you forgot when you took them in a bundle, whatever. You're talking about, you know, you have a lot of stuff. And they forgot. You're not going to go back for it. What happened? At night, what the non-Jews, the Jews, the poor people would come and collect them. Why at night?
So it wouldn't
be embarrassing. What happened that the non-Jews come also?
It's okay.
Who said okay?
I did.
You, are you paskin this? Where did you find the source? It's very nice. It's very nice, you know. But that's a difference. I don't want to say, oh, it's good to do this because we feel good about it. Source 16, Brother Kama, says what you said, Susan. Yisrael, I'm sorry, not 16. 18. Ein manchin biyad ein yeyah nachri b'leket shechapeya. You can't say, this is Jewish stuff. We have a Jewish owner. It's our mitzvah, not your mitzvah. No, you can't stop them from coming and taking it. Mibnei darkei shalom again. You have to live with them, and you can't stop them. Tana rabbanu b'panasim ani yei nachrim. You have to make sure that the poor of the non-Jews are given money with the Jews, right? Muvakin cholei nachrim, and you have to visit non-Jews in halavai. We even visit Jews in hospitals. The kovrim matei nachrim, and if there's nobody to bury them, you have to bury them in their cemeteries. Right? If you are the majority in Israel. Okay. Now, yeah, we're running out of time, but I want to just, I'm going to skip because there's all kinds of sources that you love here, but source 21, you're not allowed to cheat them in business, etc. Source 22, the Shulchan Aruch, Kol HaGonev Afilu Shava Pruta. If you have anybody even steals a penny from a non-Jew, Over Allah, Lo Tiknevu, Lo Chayev Lo Shalev. Echad mamon Israel, echad gonei mamon shel akum. Okay, so far Jews, great. We can be very pompous how great we treat non-Jews. We're not racist. Now I'm going to show you how we're racist. There is an area where Judaism is racist. Okay, and I'm going to tell you why. Where does it say we're racist? Okay, the first place we see that we're racist is in the Torah itself. Go now, because we only have a few minutes left. Source number 30. Okay. It says, Lo yavo amoni moabi bekal Hashem gam dor asiri. Somebody wants to convert to Judaism, but they're from the tribes of Ammon and Moab, and not allowed to ever convert. We do not accept them, even the 10th generation. I, Rus, converted, Ruth, right? So it says in the Gemara, the men are not allowed to convert, but the women can. Why? That's long, long, again, more time than we have for. Okay? Now, okay, so we see that they're not allowed to convert. We don't accept them. Why not? If they want to accept all the Torah and they want to do everything it says in the Torah, we're still not allowed to accept them. Why? Not only that, this is going to be controversial. Look what it says here. We're talking about people who are not Ger Tosha, but who are idol worshippers. The Rambam says, Ain 30:32. Ein mochrim lahem batim usadot Eretz Yisrael b'Suria. I'm sorry, it was Eretz Yisrael. In Israel, you're not allowed to sell a house or rent a house to an idol worshiper in your community. Sounds racist to me, right? U'b'Suria mochrim lahem batim, but in Syria, which has some of the rule laws of Israel, you can sell them houses, but not agricultural. Maskirin lahem batim be'eretz Yisrael. You can rent them to Israel. Now this is the part that's important. U'bilvad shelo yaaseh shchuna. You can rent to individuals, but they can't make their own neighborhood. The ain shchuna pachot mishlosha ve'maskir lahem sadot. Okay? What the heck is going on? We say we're supposed to be so sensitive. You can't rent. You can't tolerate non-Jews. In source 34, can't say after 8:30, if you have a whole town that is idol worshippers, what are you supposed to do?
Go somewhere else.
No, you destroy the town and you kill everybody. Never happened, but that's the law.
Why?
So it's very simple. When it comes to how we treat people who have, I want to say a shared value system, but a system of values that's compatible with Judaism, then we treat them and we welcome them and we do everything for them. But when we have people who are living among us, who have a antithetical system that goes against our values, we can't tolerate that. Why? Why in a second? Who is that? Why Amon and Moab? Why do we have to, quote, hate Amon and Moab and treat them differently? Who is Amon and Moab? Anybody know? Okay. And it's good you came. Amon and Moab are two tribes that two boys that were born right after the city of Sodom was destroyed. What happened in the city of Sodom? Everybody was destroyed because of the way they behaved. And everybody except?
Except Lot.
Except Lot and his family. Why weren't they destroyed? Not because they were such great people. They weren't good people at all. Because they had protection. They were related to Avram, and family is very important in Judaism, as we learned very previously. Because they were Avram's family, so they weren't destroyed. So you would think, and what happened? That night they thought, the two daughters of Lot thought that was the end of the world, and there's no way that the world's going to continue, like after Noah. So they got their father drunk, they had sex with him, and they had again pregnant, and they had these two children, Amon and Moab. Okay? So anybody who reads the story, as the whole tribe grows up, knows that the only reason they exist is because of the Jews. Correct? When the Jews who passed by wanted some water on the way, they said absolutely not. Showing that they had no, not only did not have any appreciation, were anti anything about giving. It's all about taking. And therefore the rabbis explained that it was part of their, if you want to call it spiritual DNA, it's part of their DNA, that they could not, they did not give, like Sodom, okay? They would not give, they would only take, etc., etc. People like this, we can't let come into our community and start influencing our values. Similarly, idol worshippers who stand, when they say idol worshippers, you know, they brought their, they tortured their children and brought them to the, when I say idol worshippers, we're not talking about people who, you know, believe in Jesus only, you know, saying, who actively are antithetical to Judaism. The Torah says you can't let them into your community and start to influence you. It's hard enough to stay Jewish among just Jews. You can't let them come into the community. Why not? So the Rambam, which I'm not going to have time to read, in Source 35, explains the power of peer pressure. When you have a group of people who are living among you, you're going to be influenced by them whether you like it or not. And therefore hang out with good people, because you'll be influenced them whether you like it or not. And don't hang out with bad people. What if there's no bad people, only good people in your town? You know what he says? Move to a different town. He says, what if there's no town around? He says, go to the hills. That's what he says in source number 35. The Rambam was a pretty sophisticated person. You can't escape from peer pressure. So therefore, the Torah says, yes, we are racist against a group of people who have values that are antithetical to Judaism. We don't let them into our homes and adopt their values. And therefore, stay away from these people as much as possible. Now, does that mean that some have said, oh, this means that you're not allowed to rent a house to an Arab? Doesn't mean that at all. I'm going to touch in a second. We're running out of time, so it doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that Judaism says, if you see people who have anti-Jewish values that are going to influence you, that's not the kind of people that you should hang out with. And therefore, the halakha has set itself up to say, be insular when it comes to, it's pretty easy when you can't keep the halakha and you have to walk to shul and Jews have to live with each other, but don't let people voluntarily in who are going to influence you to be a bad person. That's the only exception where we say, yes, we are racist in that area. We don't let people in because of their values, because they're going to destroy the Jewish people from within. Okay? Now, because I went far, I want to keep people here. Steve has a very good question, because he always does. If you want to leave, you can take it privately. If not, please.
How do we understand that the Gemara says, better to live in a city full of heathens
Okay. What we just learned is talking about the ideal. Okay? Tzaddikim in, there's no such a thing as tzaddikim in Chutz La'aretz. We were never the majority in any, we're just talking about Cuba. Even when you live in a neighborhood of tzaddikim, there are always going to be non-Jews hanging around all the time. Right? I don't even know if that's the meaning of the, you know, Eretz Israel. So ideally, it's better to live in Israel among all Jews. Does it mean, I don't know the answer to the question, you have to ask your rabbi. Is it better to have going to have a neighborhood of all Jews in Far Rockaway, right? Versus being in a there's no place in Israel I can live with all Jews. It's not true, but let's say you had, where is it better to live, right? Ask your rabbi if that's true. Thank God we have communities, and you can pick your community, by the way. You know, I like this kind of Judaism. Okay, I'm going to live in Herzliya Ptua. I'm going to live in, assuming you can afford it, you know. But I'm going to live in this, you know, I want half religious, half not religious. There are some places for you there too. In other words, you can decide to live wherever you want in Israel today. So there's no problem. You want to live as Haredi, I can get you. You want to live as a Tzioni and never hear the word Haredi, I can arrange that too. Anyway, the point is that Judaism goes to the extreme, if you will, bend over backwards to treat everybody the same. Missed a lot of sources. Torah Achat, it says you have to have one Torah for all the people in your community, and therefore we have to treat everybody equally. Judaism is not racist at all. But when it comes to people who are not Jewish, who are trying to infiltrate your community and your value system, we do keep people out. And if you don't like Judaism because of that, that's the breaks. I thank you all for coming. Next week, believe it or not, we, according to your thing, we're going to talk about, can you prove that God exists? And if you can, how are we going to do it? Okay?
That's an easy one.
Okay. Yeah. I'll finish earlier, believe me or not.
Thank you.